May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 263. Jesus, the glorious head of grace, knows every saint's peculiar case, what sorrows by their souls are borne, and how for sin they daily mourn. Hymn 263.
Thank you.
We shall read from God's holy word, from Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 8. The epistle to the Romans, chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to us and help his servant to pray.
O thou most holy and return, O Lord God. Oh, we would come, Lord, pleading for thy divine help as we gather to worship thee. Oh, we pray to be in the Spirit as John of old was on the Lord's Day, that we may be enabled from our hearts to truly worship thee and to worship thee in spirit and in truth. And oh Lord, as we gather, oh, we do pray for thy sweet and sacred presence to be known and to be felt, both within our hearts and within these walls, and that we may prove what the dear poet said, the season will be sweet if Jesus be but there. And, O Lord, we would come with that desire to see no man save Jesus only. O Lord, do empty us of ourselves, empty us of this world. O do come, Lord, and fill us, we beseech thee, that our souls may be enlarged, that we might know thy rich blessing within our souls, and thy eternal love and favour toward us. And O Lord, as we come before thee, we've nothing to bring of in and of ourselves. One of old said, our best is stained and dyed with sin. Our all is nothing worth. O Lord, we would come pleading the precious name and precious blood of the dear Lord Jesus. That name the Father loves to hear his children plead, and all such pleadings he approves and blesses them indeed. Oh, we seek for grace to confess our many, many sins before thee. Lord, we would be found at thy dear feet in real humble repentance, a true godly sorrow over our many, many sins. And as we have sung, dear Lord, may I a mourner be over my sins and after thee. Oh, we pray that thou wilt wash us in that precious fountain of thy precious blood, that we may be cleansed from all sin and from all unrighteousness. And, O Lord, may we be clothed in thy glorious righteousness. We have to prove continually that all our righteousness is as filthy rags. And, O Lord, we would come seeking a blessing indeed this day, that thou would open the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Oh, dear Lord, do come and meet each case that's gathered. May none be empty sent away. Oh, Lord, may it please thee to to feed thy hungry poor. Knowest those that have come up, Lord, hungering and thirsting after righteousness, longing for that heavenly food. And oh, that we might each, Lord, have a real appetite for the truth as it is in Jesus, and be fed with that heavenly provender. O Lord, we are poor and needy, and without thee we can do nothing. Oh, we would come earnestly seeking that thou wilt meet our soul's need, the need of thy dear people. Lord, thou hast promised to supply the inmost need of each one. No, we pray thou wilt give us that faith to believe thou wilt, and oh, do take away all our unbelief. We would pray earnestly, Lord, that we might each have that real religion that is more than notion. We may be truly quickened by thy Spirit and live a life of prayer and faith. Oh, do make us real, dear Lord, and make us right, and teach us all that we need to know. Oh, may we not be just satisfied with the letter of the truth, or just come in and out of thy house as a door on its hinges. But oh, that we may come uprightly exercised, Lord, for our souls and for a solemn eternity. Lord, that we may be prepared for that great day of death, when flesh and blood shall fail. Oh, that we might be ready, waiting for thy coming. Oh, we would bear before thee each of thy dear people. Lord, thou knowest each saint's peculiar case. Thou knowest our down sittings and our uprisings, as thou didst the dear psalmist. Oh, we pray especially thou wilt lift up those that are cast down. Thou wilt comfort those that are weeping and mourning. May their sorrows be turned into joy. Lord, who come to those that Satan seems to tempt sore and buffet on every side. Lord, who cast Satan out, Lord, with all his hellish crew, and set thy people at liberty. And oh, may those that are bound be loosed and let go. Oh, may thy dear people be filled with thy everlasting love, that their souls may overflow, Lord, in love to thee, that they may declare what thou hast done for them, and be able to say with the dear apostle, for the love of Christ constraineth us. Oh, may there be many, Lord, in these dark days immersed in the love of Christ. We pray that thou wilt bless the dear children, the dear young people. We thank thee for them, Lord, and our own offspring and their little ones too. Oh, do remember them each with the favour thou bearest to thy people. Oh, do keep them in these evil solemn days. Oh, may they be truly taught of thee. Born again, Lord. Give them that real desire to seek thee and to serve thee. May they have the religion thou didst give to dear Ruth of old. And they may cleave to thee and cleave to thy people, cleave to thy truth and thy house and to the old paths. May there be found in them, Lord, some good thing toward the Lord God of Israel. May the prayers of dear parents and grandparents and those that pray for them be heard and answered. And may there be raised up a seed that shall serve thee and a generation to call thee the Redeemer blessed. And I do bless thee, Sabbath School, and those truths set forth there, that thy word may enter into the hearts of the young and there abide. O Lord, we pray for those unable to be with us, especially those in affliction. We think of dear Peter, Lord, and we pray that thou wilt be with him. We thank thee for the mercies and healing virtue given thus far. We pray that thou wilt sanctify all these afflictions, Lord, to each of thy dear people. And oh, that thou wouldst grant further restoring mercies and healing, and be with him and his dear one and family in this great trial, Lord, and may it all work together for good, as thou hast promised, to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. And thy dear servants that are laid aside, Lord, and all thy afflicted people, we pray thou would heal them if it be thy holy will. And thy dear servant's wife in the hospital, remember her. And oh, may the operation be a success, and she be spared to him and to the family. Oh Lord, we would pray for those that have forsaken thy cause, that thou wilt bring them back if it would please. May almighty love arrest them. May they be brought to feel the need of an hiding place. And O Lord, we do pray for those who are away at this time on holiday. Watch over them in their going out and coming in. And oh, may they be refreshed and revived, both in body, in mind and in soul, and be benefited by the change. Oh Lord, do bless this church and congregation. We pray for thee to work mightily among them. There may be others constrained to follow thee. Oh, we would thank thee for what thou hast done. And we would truly be thankful for present and yet ask for more. And oh, may there be a blessed influx in Zion and in our own flock at home. Oh, do help our deacons in the reading service this morning. And thy dear servant as he comes in the afternoon. And may it be a time of sweet refreshing, if it would please thee, from the presence of the Lord. And O Lord, remember dear Mr. Broom in his affliction, as he's unable to go to our own flock today. Be with him in all the things that are before him in the coming week. And we pray, if it's thy holy will, thou wilt yet spare him and restore him, and others of thy servants that are laid aside. Now, in the midst of deserved wrath, remember this guilty nation. Hear the prayers that are put up for thy appearing, Lord. And oh, do turn us from our sin and wickedness and idolatry, and turn us to thee. And in the midst of deserved wrath, yet remember mercy still. And bless our Queen and the royal family with all the riches of thy grace. Oh, we would praise thee for all thy many mercies, Lord, in providence and in grace. We pray for a heart to truly bless thy holy name. To help the deacons in all the burden and weight and responsibilities they hold. And bless the hymns they give out. And may there be those times of sweet flowing together between pulpit, desk and pew. And dear Lord, do come and anoint us to speak a few things in thy holy name this day. And oh, touch our lips with that live coal from off thy heavenly altar. Blot out now all our many, many sins, our many transgressions, dear Lord. Wash us in that precious blood of Jesus as we seek to fall into thy kind arms, sink or swim, and grant, we pray, a real spirit of healing. So we would ask these poor breathings in the precious name of Jesus and for his dear name's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 390. Jesus, let thy pitying eye call back a wandering sheep. False to thee like Peter, I would fain like Peter weep. Let me be by grace restored, on me be all its freeness shown. Turn and look upon me, Lord, and break my heart of stone. Hymn 390.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to Romans chapter 8 and verse the 14th. Paul's epistle to the Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now Paul's epistle to the Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. First of all, beloved friends, there's a solemn implication in this word. There will be those that are not led by the Spirit of God. And what a solemn position to be in. Because he says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The dear Apostle Paul, as he wrote this letter to the church at Rome, and in his other epistles, he so clearly distinguishes between the leading of the Spirit of God and the leading of the flesh, because what a solemn position to be in if we're only led by the flesh. He doesn't speak about being led by the flesh in our text, does he? He doesn't speak of being led by the world or led by the devil or led by man. He speaks about being led by the Spirit of God. And those that are, it's a wonderful evidence that they are the sons of God. Now I want us help to this morning to look a little at this divine leading that is so beautifully set forth by the dear apostle. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God. But let me come low as we begin. How many of us truly and honestly from the depths of our hearts long to be led by the Spirit of God? It is one thing to say that we are, but it's another thing to know it. And we, if we are to know this, we shall have to be under the influence of the blessed Spirit of God. Because Paul makes it so clear, as we read together this morning, that they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now have we the Spirit of Christ in us? Because this is a very vital and very blessed point, to have the Spirit of Christ in us. He will put his Spirit in every one that is born again. that is quickened into life by the Holy Spirit of God. He put His Spirit in them. They have the Spirit of Christ. And we read, didn't we? Except you have the Spirit of Christ, you are none of His. And if the Spirit is in us, working in us, one of the sweet fruits of it will be this. It will humble the sinner. It'll remove, and we need it continually, all the pride we have, all the self-righteousness we have, all that is carnal will have to be put out under the blessed influence of the Spirit. You think, as I mentioned in prayer, and a dear brother mentioned it in the vestry in his prayer, about dear John and the Isle of Patmos. There he was, shut away. But oh, what do we read about the Sabbath day, the Lord's day? He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And when we're in the Spirit, we're not our own. Blessed thing, you know, when the Holy Spirit is living and reigning in our hearts. And this will make the sinner very tender. It will make them very humble. And all they want is the vital things of God. We know you will have to contend with your old flesh and our old nature right till we die. But our grace will subdue it. And oh, to have that blessed Spirit of Christ in us. Let me use just a simple illustration. It comes to one's mind. We think of the house of Simon the Pharisee. And you look at the difference between Simon and that dear woman that came in the house. Simon just wanted to entertain the Lord of life and glory for his own ends and to boost his own pride. There was no real love to the Saviour in his heart. He was in the spirit of the flesh and of this world. But you look at that dear woman. She creeps behind the Saviour, not worthy to come before Him. Do you know what it is to creep behind Him? Venturing to His dear feet. She was under the Spirit of God, you see. She wasn't under her own spirit. Humility reigned in her. She was willing to be nothing. And she comes under the Spirit as a poor, needy sinner. And there she washes His feet with her tears. They were tears of sorrow because of her sin, but they were in tears of love to her dear Redeemer. And the Spirit brought her there, you see. And what did she need? The Lord to have mercy upon her, pardon all her sin. And she wasn't disappointed, was she? Simon was ever willing and ready to condemn her and to condemn the Saviour for ever speaking to her But oh, what did the Saviour say to him? He said to him, her sins that are many are all forgiven. And then he spoke it to the dear woman, didn't he? But he manifests to Simon what spirit she was in. Now, this is a very searching point because as we gather this morning or wherever we be in the earth, the Lord looks at what sort of spirit there is in us. Except ye have the Spirit of Christ. You look at that spirit that ruled and reigned in the dear Redeemer from Bethlehem to Calvary. The Spirit of Heaven, the Spirit of God the Father, the Holy Spirit descended on him. And you think even in that great and bitter temptations in the wilderness, we read that he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And you look how the Spirit of God dwelt in him. It's something really, and I say this lovingly, I long for my own soul. That we may be like him. You know, you dear children and young people, you often hear it said, oh, you're like your parents, in, well, it may be in looks, in manner, and in many ways. But, oh, you think of this in a far deeper way. How much are we like the Saviour? You see, because the Lord sees what spirit we're in, and whether we're under his Spirit. And whether we desire to be under his Spirit. Now he says here, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God. Now the Spirit of God leads his dear children. And I want to look at this in a few ways as we may be helped. First of all, there's much that he'll lead us from. And there's much we need leading from, isn't there? First of all, we need leading out of ourselves. Solemn thing where self reigns, isn't it? If you look in the case of the Apostle Paul, he could write this from experience because he knew what it was for the Lord to lead him right out of himself. If you go back to the Damascus Road where he started that journey, persecuting the Church of God, hailing men and women into prison. He wasn't under the Spirit of God then, was he? He was under his own spirit and under the spirit of the devil. A good agent for Satan, wasn't he then? Some of us have been. And if we're left, even after we're called by grace, we can soon become a servant of the devil. When we're not under the Spirit of God. But oh, you look at how the Lord led him away from all that spirit as soon as the Lord spoke to him from heaven. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And you know, once the Lord put his grace in his heart, he brought him under the influence of his blessed Spirit. I love that chapter because you think of how he fell to the earth as a poor, wretched, hell-deserving sinner. And out of the depths of his heart, no longer hating the name of Jesus, he cries out, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? The Spirit of God was working in him, you see. Leading him out of the of self, leading him out of all the form of religion that he had. And leading him to pray and to pray from his heart. There's no doubt he'd offered ever so many prayers prior to that, but much of that was only the flesh and praying to suit himself. But oh, now he's under the influence of the Blessed Spirit, you see. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Do you know what it is when the Holy Spirit teaches you to pray like that? Well, let me come low. Do we desire that he would lead us in prayer? You see, there are two blessed themes that have been with me since this text came. First of all, what we got to be led from, and where we're going to be led to. And if you look in the case of dear Saul, how the Lord led him away from himself, led him away from all natural religion. But where did he lead? He didn't just lead him out from these things and then leave him, did he? Where did he lead him to? And where was he going to be led to? And where are you? And where am I? He was to be led out of self, the world, and serving Satan, and from all the natural religion he had, but he was to be led to look to the dear Lord Jesus, and led to pray to him. Is he leading you? Do you desire that he would lead you in prayer? In secret, those of us that have to pray in public continually feel to need the Holy Spirit to be upon us, that we might be led to ask for those things that are right in the sight of God we should ask for and according to his holy will. And oh, to be led out in prayer. You know, it's wonderful when you can feel, and some of you will no doubt know what I mean, when you feel the Lord, it may be in the busy scenes of life, it may be, as I remember Mr. Reuben Mercer saying once, that he was asked to go and see one of his congregation. And when he got there, this dear lady was busy at the kitchen sink, and she said, you know, Mr. Mercer, I felt as I've stood here such leading out in prayer for this one and that one and for my own soul. She said, I felt the Holy Spirit leading me to prayer. And that's a blessed place to be found in, isn't it? He may be the husbandman in the field or in the office or wherever he may be, and his heart is drawn out by the Spirit in real prayer. And I think back and I say it humbly before the Lord and before you and before I joined the church in 1963, and after I joined, those dear souls, they said to me, you know, this is the answer to our groanings and our prayers. And you know that I felt, while I was in the exercise, there were those that were praying me along in it, and I'd not said a word. And the same regarding only to the minister. You know, when the Holy Spirit lays the burden of prayer upon it may be a little child. It may be a saint of 100 years of age, or whatever age. And he causes blessed Spirit to come upon them, and he draws their heart out in prayer to the Lord. They may not say a word, but inward groanings, as the apostle said, inward groanings that cannot be uttered. But to be led, well, led what to ask for, you see. It's easy for us to try and pray to be delivered, maybe from affliction or a trial. And we pray for it because we know it will ease our situation. But that may not be the Lord's will. His will may be that you've got to walk through this and endure the trial, and you need to be led how to pray in it, don't you? Oh, you do. And oh, when the Holy Spirit leads us to ask for His will to be done, and to know no will but His. It's a beautiful prayer. I so often quote it, but I love the word, what Jesus taught the dear disciples, "Thy will be done." And you think of the Saviour in the Garden of Gethsemane. "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." You see how the Saviour was under the blessed influence of the Spirit. But we need leading, and we need leading away from this world, don't we? Weaning of it, you see. It's like a little babe. It's gradually weaned, isn't it, from the breast. And that's what the Lord will do with His dear people. He'll wean them, you see. And really, our life here is a continual, if we are the children of God, a continual weaning process. Now I think of my late dear deacon that we lost last Christmas time, and you know, the last, well, 2 or 3 years of his life, he said to me many times in the vestry before the service, he said, "You know, there's so much I feel the Lord weaning me from this earth." You could tell in his prayer he was drawing him heavenward, you see. And that's a blessed place, isn't it? When we're drawn in our hearts, in our affections, in our desires heavenward. Oh, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God. And you think how you need the Lord to lead you to pray. Now, I don't know why I name these things, but you see, if this is of the Lord, you'll need this leading. But then we need to be led to the dear Lord Jesus, don't we? Led to His dear feet. You know, when the Lord began to work in Saul of Tarsus, I've named a few of the things the Lord led him from, but you look how He led him to Christ. Led him to the dear Redeemer. It's a good prayer, isn't it? Lead us out of self to thyself, to the dear Redeemer's feet. And you think how many were led to Christ while he walked this earth. Well, look at the woman with the at the well of Samaria. He had needs to go through Samaria, the Saviour did. Much could be said upon him needs to go through it. Many make a lot of it, but you know, if you look in the course of his journey, he had go through Samaria. But he didn't have to go through there just for that dear woman. There were many went through there because many believed on him there. But the point with that dear woman, you look, she was led to that well to draw water at that time. The Lord was in the matter, leading her. And there she was, a poor, wretched woman, a wretched sinner. But you look how she was led to the dear Redeemer. I love those words. When she said, I know that the Messiah cometh. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And this is the word. What did Jesus say to her? I that speak unto thee am he. He revealed to her his identity and who he was. And oh, how she was led to him, wasn't she? And led to say what she did. When she went into the city, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? You know, all her hope, all her salvation, where's yours and mine, was in the dear Redeemer. There she was, guilty, helpless. I read it in the vestry before we came to the pulpit, that beautiful last verse of the hymn, a guilty, weak and helpless worm. On thy kind arms I fall. Be thou my strength and righteousness, my Jesus and my all. Oh, you look how he led her to Christ. The blessed Spirit did. He had to go through Samaria for that dear woman, and many believe, not only because of what the woman said, but they, and listen, they heard him themselves. Oh, they did. Do you know what it is to hear from Jesus yourself? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, so is he leading you to the dear Redeemer. And how will he lead you there? Just as you are. Many professors of religion will say, oh, but you've got to make yourself better, you've got to do this and do that if you're coming to Christ. You know, those that came to him, that were led to him by the blessed Spirit, came just as they were. And some of you may be in deep need this morning in your soul, in your pathway, in your circumstance, in your family, in your affliction, and we can name a whole list. But, oh, poor soul, may the Spirit lead you to come to him with it all. Thou art coming to a king, large petitions with thee bring, for his power and love are such that none can ever ask too much. Come just as you are. What does the poet say? You can't come too filthy. Come just as you are. But then, led to the dear Redeemer. Why? Because all the sinner's hope's there. All their hope is in him. All their salvation. The hymn writer said, if ever my poor soul be saved, 'tis Christ must be the way. You read Psalm 107, he led them forth by the right way. And that right way is to Christ. You know, all other paths do lead astray, don't they? Led to the dear Redeemer. And in him is everything the sinner needs, both for time and for eternity. And as the Spirit leads you to him, you can tell him all your case, can't you? All your sad complaints, all your afflictions, all your sin, and you're led to him that he would forgive all that sin, blot out all that transgression that troubles you and plagues you and weighs you down. And led to him in real confession. Oh, you know, that's a bit forward. I read it last evening. If ye confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And oh, the poor needy sinner led to Christ will come confessing all their sins. All their guilt, all their blackness. And why do they come to him? Because they long for mercy. They long to be pardoned and washed in the precious blood of Jesus. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, oh, to be led to the dear Redeemer. But then, to be led into his truth. You know what a mercy it is when he leads us into the truth, and that truth is Christ. There's a good prayer in the Psalms, isn't there? Well, there's many good prayers in the book of the Psalms, many for fervent, blessed desires. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. How many times do you have to pray that? Lead me in thy truth. It may be you pick the word of God up and you read it and you say, Lord, I can't understand it. You young ones, and us that are older, there's many things we never will understand. But the Holy Spirit can reveal them. And when he leads you into the truth of God's holy word, he'll unfold the truth to you. And I think of that sweet prayer where we often hear the Lord's servants pray it just before the sermon, that the Holy Spirit would take of the things of Jesus and reveal them unto us. And as you read the word, as he leads you to the word, it may be a very searching word. May the Holy Spirit lead you into it and then take of the things of Jesus and reveal them unto you. You know, of late, especially since I had this affliction, so many times in reading in secret and two in public the Holy Word of God, I've seen in some sacred ways in the Word a precious Christ in some of the sacred verses. I've never seen it before. And you see, really, the Word of God is full of Christ. Oh, it is. The sacred promises that the Lord gives his dear people, a yea and amen in Christ Jesus, and are to be led into the Word. And not only do the servants of God need the Holy Spirit to lead them in the word in preaching and opening it up, but in secret each of his dear people need it. Lead me in thy truth. And how many times has the Lord led you, it may be in a time of affliction, into some of the sacred truths in God's word? I think in times of affliction, many times I've come into it, and those precious words in the prophecy of Isaiah have been really sacred to me. And they are these. In all their afflictions, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he carried them all the days of old in all their affliction. And you know, as you come into those paths of affliction, whether it's affliction of soul, affliction of body, affliction of mind, affliction of circumstance, oh, to be led in all these afflictions, he was afflicted. You may think this morning that you're in an affliction that none of God's dear people ever come into. But poor soul, whatever that affliction is, he knows, and he has been in it. And when you can view Christ in it, it'll make the bitter affliction sweet, it will. And not only this, what's been very precious to me is this. We think sometimes that our afflictions are going to destroy us and bring us right down to nothing. But poor soul, if you have a glimpse of the affliction led by the Spirit to view it, that he endured, your affliction, my affliction, is only but a drop in the ocean compared with his. You may think yours is hard, but you consider his, and are to be led into those sufferings, those agonies of Christ. Led by faith into the truth as it is in Jesus. Led to view his sufferings, his agonies. Oh, you think of this word, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And you know, as the Lord leads you to view those agonies that he endured, and I'll tell you what it'll do, if I know anything about it at all, it'll melt the hardest part of your heart. We've sung about melting our hearts. Take away this stony heart. And one glimpse of what the Saviour endured by faith will melt the hardest heart. It will. Oh, it will. What do we sing sometimes? It's a precious word, isn't it? What can soften hearts of stone but the precious blood of Christ alone? And oh, to be led to view those pierced hands, those pierced side, like Thomas was. You know, the Lord led him to view those. The blessed Spirit revealed to him this was the risen Saviour. And what did he say from a very soft heart? My Lord and my God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You see, this leading is a wonderful proof of sonship. Oh, it is. A wonderful proof of sonship. The Lord doesn't lead the wicked or the world, the ungodly, does he? Into the agonies of Christ, into the path of real prayer, into viewing the preciousness and suitability of the Saviour. Solemnly, they know it not. And nor were we, unless we are led by the Spirit of God. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £810, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Ashby will preach on Tuesday evening and Mr. Wallace next Lord's Day, and there will be no Sunday school today. Let us close with hymn 293. Encompassed with clouds of distress, and tempted all hope to resign, I pant for the light of thy face, that I in thy beauty may shine. Disheartened with waiting so long, I sink at thy feet with my load. All plaintive I pour out my song, and stretch forth my hands unto God. Hymn 293.
Thank you.
you, Lord, do forgive now anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Do come over the poverty of our poor feeble attempts. Do bless thy own word. May we not leave it all on the chapel doorstep. May there be a little to bind. Come up with us through the rest of the day if it would please thee. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, and the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.